Jack Daniels whiskey at 1.5 is how the folks around here have been living their lives. Waking and baking every morning at 8, make it to work, they're always late. Living by the job, paying their dues, life in Dixie with these Alabama blues.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk. 1:06:5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. That's how you get in touch with the program. Should have come on the program, April Marie Fogle, News Talk 93.1. That's in about an hour from now. And about 2 hours from now, our returning champion, State Senator Chris Elliott. What a way to close the week. Joining us now, very pleased to bring on my next guest. Very kind to come on a regular basis now, but State Representative Shane Stringer is with us. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Doing great. Appreciate you having me.
Hey, thanks for coming on. We're 3-4 days away from the election. I don't think there's a whole lot of intrigue except for this. There is one race here in Mobile. Vivian Figures and Pete Raymond is starting to get a little bit more buzz. But how are you feeling about Tuesday?
I think we're going to come out good. Pretty much the predictions across the state are in line with the polls, and the election with Pete and Vivian are going to be, probably a close election and going to depend on the turnout. But, we'll see. I think everything's in line to put the keep the Republicans as a supermajority in Montgomery.
Yeah, and I got to think that a lot of what you're probably seeing out there is or hearing from your constituents, I should say, is probably more nationally focused right now, upset about the bottom line of the economy and things of that nature. That they're looking to go out, hit that Republican straight ticket in a lot of guys and as a protest against this president.
Yeah, I think you're going to see that across the country. I think a lot of people are fed up with the way our economy is going and with the recent interest rate hikes that we had this week and everything that's going on with fuel costs across the country and the economy just in the sad shape that it's in. I think you're going to see a lot of states that, voters are going to go in and pull a straight Republican ticket.
Yeah, I the angst, and that is a lot of that is really what that's going to drive the polls. And Democrats, they're really relying on a lot of weird narratives, I think, right now, but none of it's sticking. And there's only so much you could do from your standpoint, the legislature, but the economy and that. But I guess the one thing when we talk about the economy, Representative, everyone seems to be focused at the state level on tax relief or what to do with this surplus. Have you given that any thought?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of discussion going on across the state. I guess everybody getting kind of geared up, prepared before we go into session or even a potential special session to deal with some of it. And, we've had talks from everything from either reducing or doing away with the food tax, to what can be done with these excess monies that we have. But, I think something will be done. I know that the governor has put out something that she's working on, some kind of tax relief or tax break for our citizens. So be interesting to see that and what she's got in store for that. And just try to see what we can do to give back to our citizens and to help here right here in Alabama.
Yeah, I whenever I talk to people, that's what always comes up. It's not, every now and then it's gambling or something, roads or whatever, but the grocery tax. Why do we tax groceries? Why do we tax food? And if you had to pick one thing, if we were looking at tax relief, I think people would point to that as probably the one sore spot.
Yeah, I mean, throughout my 4 years in legislature, I mean, that's probably the number one tax issue that comes up to me. Citizens are not happy with us, taxing groceries, and maybe this is the time that we can address it. I mean, our finances are in better shape than they've ever been, and we've got more money coming in from the internet sales tax, and maybe this is the time that we can find a way to replace that and eliminate the food tax to give our citizens a break. I mean, you got a lot of people on fixed incomes that, you know, are struggling to purchase food. And of course, with fuel prices being higher, and it's going to affect everything, including food. So hopefully we can take this opportunity to capitalize on it and make something good of it.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. But I think that's the one thing folks are talking about. At least when I do my informal polling, if you will, let's do something about the grocery tax. The other one, I mentioned it, gaming. We had Siegelman on earlier kind of gloating about I told you so about the lottery. It seems to me, Representative, that, you know, you got a situation with the dog tracks kind of on the ropes here. They're just barely hanging on. You get to Montgomery, it's always been sort of a, you can't get to that three fish you need to get a lottery on the ballot. Now it seems like there's probably a little bit more leverage to work with there, that if you're looking at the X's and O's, you're counting votes, now would be the time, or you need a governor or somebody probably leading the charge here, but now would be the time to strike.
Yeah, I think it's a prime opportunity. You know, I agree that we should have done something with this years ago, and I wish we had. You know, I think it's going to have to, I don't know if it needs to be looked at with separate issues or one issue, but that's been one of the biggest problems I've seen since being in legislature is every year, you know, everybody feels confident and comfortable that a lottery bill would pass, and but then the gaming, the external gaming, is not sure whether it would pass. So they've tried to bunch them together every time to hopefully get both of them through. And, you know, there's a major battle that goes on in Montgomery over that. And it obviously it has not passed. So hopefully my ideal situation would be that we could bring it up as maybe separate issues and let the citizens vote on it. But at the end of the day, the citizens deserve a vote on it, and we should be letting them decide whether they want full-blown gaming or just straight lottery.
Joined by State Representative Shane Stringer of Citadel here on the program. Representative, we'll bring this up again, but Highway 45. Now, I don't think it's going to be anytime soon. We're going to see that four lane. But I was talking to I think Jerry Carl yesterday, kind of off air, and he's driving up, and he's like, "Yeah, well, we won't." Neither one of us think that we'll ever see that four lane in our lifetime, but at least it seems like the Alabama Department of Transportation, at least they paid lip service to it. They're going to look to do something. Are you seeing any movement on that, like more signage, or I don't know what they would do to improve the safety on 45 between Pritchard and Alabama Mississippi state line?
Well, I think they've done all they can do over the last year and a half, which was putting the rumble strips in the middle of the road. And I do believe that helps, you know, cutting some of the trees back, adding extra signs, doing a couple of turning lanes to the off the road to help people get off the road safely. But at the end of the day, that's putting a Band-Aid on a bullet wound. We're going to have to put some asphalt on the ground to fix this problem. And, you know, I'm continuing to fight the fight and continue to request meetings with ALDOT and the governor to push this. I've gotten leadership in Montgomery's involved, and they're trying to help me with it. And, you know, we're going to continue to push until we get something done. Now, whether, you know, there'll be asphalt on the ground in my lifetime, who knows? But I can assure you that I'm going to continue to fight and continue to be a voice and continue to do what I can do to try to get us, you know, get us some help on 45.
Have the rumble strips or any of that made a difference? I mean, you know, it seemed like we were hearing about a lot of, you know, the fatalities. And have you seen a distinguishable difference up that way?
They're really, it's not been down long enough to notice or tell a difference just yet. You know, the wrecks are, you know, down a little bit right now. But a lot of that is being in the now that the off season, we don't have as many visitors and tourists coming through, going to our beaches from the northern state. So, you know, it's hard to say just yet. I think it's gonna be like everything. It's gonna take a little while for us to to see results and to know whether it's made a major impact or not. But, you know, they've done stuff as even putting up the signs, having state troopers work traffic details on 45, especially during holiday weekends, and, you know, just trying to have a more presence with law enforcement, and that has helped too. And I appreciate what Leah, the state troopers have done and trying to help us with that and help us save lives. But like I said, and I'll say it till the day I die, until we put some asphalt on the ground, it's still a problem.
What do you think that looks like? Is it a new road altogether, or could you just take the existing road and improve that? Could you make it, I don't know, widen it, or would you need to, I'd have to think maybe, you know, would you bypass Centronelle? Is this that kind of project, or is there, you know, there's a big difference in price tag, I would think.
Well, you know, ALDOT has said pretty much as long as I've been involved in it that bypassing Centronelle is going to be their cheapest option and better option. I'm not 100% sold on that. I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think, you know, in Centronelle, there's you got Robertsdale, you got Grove Hill, you got several areas where they've bypassed just the little part of downtown and basically did a split road, two southbound lanes going on one side and two northbound on a different area. And I think that's possible in Centronelle with the old railroad bed they've got going through there. But I don't think that it's necessary or that you have to bypass the road all the way around. I think it could be done in town, but it's absolutely doable where it's at. I think the best way to look at this and do it, and I've said it for probably a year and a half, 2 years now, is let's tackle it in projects. You know, do it kind of a pay as you go, as Mobile County Commission does with our roads in Mobile. And it's roughly a 60-mile stretch from Mississippi to Pritchard. You know, maybe let's tackle it in 20-mile segments and knock out the you know, pick the most dangerous part or area first and knock that out, and then just continue to work, because it is going to be very expensive to do 60 miles of four lane. I mean, we are replacing a bridge right now at the Washington Mobile County line on 45. They could have very easily, you know, did that as a four-lane bridge, and that would be a less expensive, you know, that would take some of the expense off of the project in the future. But we're putting down a brand-new two-lane bridge that if we decide to go and do four-lane in the future, that brand-new bridge would have to be replaced with a four-lane. So we're bringing some of the expenses on ourselves, but, you know, I don't know the ins and outs and works of ALDOT, so I'm sure they have their reasons, and, you know, we just have to trust them in what they're doing. But we have got to continue to, you know, fight this fight. We've got to, if we could ever get them to do, you know, like I said, a pay-as-you-go program or do it in segments, you know, at least you're taking a bite of the apple every time you do something.
And that's the thing, Representative. It's we don't know what the calculus is here. We don't know what the the traffic. All of this to me seems like at least give us like a definitive reason. Why wouldn't this be one of the priorities? It once was a priority. It was once a legislative priority until the legislature took it off. That's according to your colleague Britt Easterbrook. But why it makes them say this is not a project where this is what I don't understand. Like, just explain to us why 43 four lane through Marengo County, and places like that seems to be a more pressing need than this. And is it a philosophy that we don't need four lane highways to state lines? Because that seems the way to be the way this governor has used transportation policy. But we don't get these kinds of answers from ALDOT, do we?
No, we do not. And I've asked them and you know, had some heated conversations with them over the last 4 years. And, you know, I think there's a lot that goes into making decisions on which roads across the state. And, you know, going into this, I made up my mind. I'm like, you know, this ain't just about Mobile County and about District 102. It's the whole state. But at the end of the day, I represent 102. I'm going to fight for 102. this is the deadliest highway in Alabama. There is no excuse, no reason why we can't tackle it and work on it. And, you know, I will continue to request the governor and Al Dott and whoever's director, you know, throughout my next 4 years to help us with it. And, you know, at some point, I think at some point they're going to have to listen to us. I mean, it is the deadliest highway. How many lives have got to be lost? You know, I think the fact that it's not as populated, you know, may hurt the reason it's not, you know, getting addressed more. But on that same note, it also plays to our favor to where you would think that because it's not as populated, it would be lesser to four lane and acquire the property needed to do the four lane. And so I think that it's now's the prime time.
Well, it's like this state sometimes, if you build a big four-lane road, we're going to get economic development or whatever. But I think the traffic counts seem to me to warrant this. You drive it out 45 in Mississippi. It's four-lane from state line to state line. They invested a lot of money in it over the last 30, 40 years, or 45, going up through Meridian and Columbus and up Tupelo, Corinth, and on into Tennessee. But, you know, it's just always been, you hit Alabama and it's a little windy two-lane road. Well, that traffic, it just gets bottlenecked there. I know you got a lot of support, Gumbo, and a lot of the business interests are down here are for it. Ultimately, you're going to need it for the port. Does the traffic count? What do you think of the traffic count?
The traffic numbers are there. I mean, the traffic count numbers are there. I mean, there's like the 10 worst traffic count roads in Alabama, and 45 is in that top 10. So I think it's there. I think you're exactly right. We're going to have the help of the Port Authority. You know, my last press conference that we did, I had the support of the Mobile County Commissioners, Washington County Commissioners, and the mayors of all the cities in between, and you know, a lot of support, even from the Coastal 150 group and in the Gumbo packets. It's been a lot of people that's taken an interest in this because of the growth that we have going on with our port and with the Amazon shipping center and Walmart shipping center in Mobile. That has created a lot more traffic going up 45. So we're going to have to address it. You know, it may not, like I said, it may not be anytime soon, but it's got to be addressed because it is going to affect our commerce and the industry world, you know, with all the industry that we have, which is a blessing to Mobile County, but we're going to have to support it with the infrastructure.
Herzit, we got to leave it there. You've been very kind to make time for us this morning. We'll talk again soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you, and y'all have a great weekend.
You do the same. State Representative Shane Stringer there, talking a little Highway 45. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
I'm Bill Riles, WKRG News.